Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the last hour, Utah prosecutors unveiled 7 charges against Tyler Robinson in the killing of Charlie Kirk and formally announced they would seek the death penalty. The charges include aggravated murder, felony discharge of firearm, obstruction of justice, and witness tampering. We are very fortunate to once again bring the former U.S. attorney for the state of Minnesota 2 times. He held that position, Andy Luger. Andy's been kind to us when he held the position and certainly afterwards on important cases like this. And truthfully, we can't get a better guest and resource than Andy on a day like this. Thank you so much again. I appreciate it. What is your just overall reaction to the charges filed in the murder of Charlie Kirk?
But the evidence as laid out by the prosecutor in the press conference that he just held is overwhelming, and as it often is in these cases. So what I would say if I was talking to, you know, the family of the victims or others is that this will lead to a conviction. Whether it leads to the death penalty or not really depends on a jury in Utah, but this man will be convicted based on what I heard and what we all heard, both about his confessing to the crime and the evidence linking him to it.
The Utah County attorney is a gentleman named Jeff Gray. He did say that he's going to seek the death penalty. You just laid that out partially about whether it will get to that point. Was that decision expected to you, or were you uncertain before it was announced in the last hour?
It was expected by me. In states that have the death penalty, there's a reason they have the death penalty, and each state makes that decision. In a state that has the death penalty, it's hard to imagine having a death penalty available case that's stronger than this one.
Sure.
This is exactly why you have a death penalty in a state that believes in it.
Among the folks that he confessed to, because they are still saying he's not cooperating with them, the parents. In talking about Charlie Kirk, among the comments the county attorney said, there's too much evil with this guy. He spreads too much hatred. And also conversations with his roommate. Enough of his hatred. Some hate cannot be negotiated with. If you're the defense, how are you going to try to overcome that information from Robinson himself to the people in his life who you would assume he most trusted?
I have no idea. I have defended cases that had no defense, and you go into court, you do something within the rules, and you do the best you can. I would imagine a lawyer will likely try to get a guilty plea and no death penalty. That's about the best you can do at this point. But if a case goes to trial, you know, there's always some form of mental impairment, mental illness, defense of insanity. Those aren't very strong in any of these cases.
Right.
So if he insists on a trial because he doesn't want to plead guilty, or if a trial is really required because you know, not a lot of people plead guilty where the death penalty is at issue, then you're going to have to do the best you can. I don't envy the defense lawyer. Nobody would. But that's our system. And I think this case is overwhelming, and I think there'll be a verdict of guilty without much doubt.
This is a two-time former U.S. Attorney for the state, Andy Lueger, with us reacting to the charges against Tyler Robinson in the murder of Charlie Kirk. Gray and the other prosecutors also laid out that because this was such a public event, Andy, 3,000 individuals, that this bullet came precariously and dangerously close to hitting other individuals. Does that carry any more weight with the law?
It carries weight with the law. When you say any more, you murdered a public individual intentionally, with planning, with forethought. When you say any more, obviously anything as horrendous as this, it's hard to talk about it being more horrendous, but yes, there were children and others there in the area. When you take a shot at somebody in public, the chances that you're going to hit somebody else or additional people is always there, and it's horrendous. But it's hard to say that it's, you know, what's more horrendous than targeting,
right,
you know, targeting
exactly
anybody,
yeah,
and shooting and killing them. So there is literally nothing to say about this case that isn't just horrific and troubling for our whole society.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. The fact that he is not cooperating in cases, and it's hard to say typical like this, but sadly, we saw it with Vance Belter. We've watched what happened targeting the governor of Pennsylvania. We watched what happened with Steve Scalise, Gabby Giffords, other political attempts. Can we come up with a typical scenario, or is it all, I mean, it's all to some level always going to be case to case, but the fact that this individual is not cooperating, is that what you would have expected?
I think the cases kind of fall into two broad categories to the extent that we want to go there. One is the person who really does want to talk about what they did, talk to the police, talk to law enforcement, and explain what they did and why. And there are those instances, and to some extent they're on, you know, they're on their rant. Their rant hasn't finished. Others, the horrendous act of what they did is the statement that they're going to make, and then they just shut up and go back into a hole. I don't know him. I don't know anything about him. I watched the press conference. I'm trying to follow the coverage. He seems to have done what he wanted to do, and did not expect. I think there was one statement in there where he didn't really expect to be alive at this point. But he is, and I don't, you know, when they talk about cooperating with law enforcement, he's confessed to the crime. The evidence is in. He's going to be convicted of murder and very possibly the death penalty. So I don't know what else there really is to do. He could talk about more of his feelings, but I think we very much know, based on what we've heard so far in the texts and the roommate in particular, we know a lot about what he was thinking and why he did this horrendous thing.
DNA also, they are saying, on the rifle itself, just to add to it. So he's going to appear virtually in court around 4R time. After that takes place, what happens next? What about the federal government itself?
Yeah, I don't know. And then the Utah County Attorney said this. I don't know where the feds are with their case and what they're going to be doing or not doing. The state case will proceed as state cases do. There'll be motions hearings. There'll be court appearances. They'll set a trial date. You know, they'll talk about the death penalty and bringing in specific defense counsel for that. There are a number of steps that'll take place, but aside from the publicity and the public nature of the person who was murdered, this will be a murder case. And that's not to understate anything, but that's what it's going to be. If there are federal charges, that, you know, can change the game.
I know when I've talked to you before about this, and also the interim U.S. Attorney Joe Thompson, It seems the pattern, at least in Minnesota, has always been the federal charges would go first. The federal government's going to step in. That is clear at some level. So if they do or when they do, will they also want to go first in Utah?
I don't know. You know, yes, the pattern has been of late that the feds go first. It's not required, and they'll be talking amongst themselves. So we'll find out. But I wouldn't presume one way or the other just because of what's happened of late. That seems to be the way things are going these days. I don't know whether that'll continue.
As a citizen, as a passionate defender of the law, as someone who, when you're not representing the government, is willing to give opinions, some opinions that people don't like, how chilling to you is what happened, that despicable act, and just the way some individuals are reacting to it, and where we might be going because of this grotesque decision by Tyler Robinson?
Well, I think what we've seen over the last few years with the horrendous acts that sort of span the spectrum, this being one of them, school shootings, political assassinations, Mangione case in New York, you know, hunting down and killing a CEO. I think we as a society are in an awful place. And it's beyond, yes, it incorporates the reaction of some people here, some people in the Mangione case, you know, kind of coming to the cause of these murderers. I think we're in a very, very troubling place as a society. And I think the solutions for all of this, which I'm trying to think about a lot, go very deep. This is beyond some legislation. This is beyond funding for mental health, all of which, you know, is worthwhile to think about. But I think we have to think more deeply about who we are and how we are communicating with each other, because the level of rage and anger and grievance in our society has hit a level that I don't think we ever anticipated.
Yeah. Again, Andy Luger's with us, former two-time U.S. attorney for the state. I concur completely. And we have events that take place, whether it's the attempted assassination multiple times, the president, whether it's the Hortmans, and we think, and people say, the tone has to change. We don't have to give up our opinions, but the violence itself, the rhetoric, needs to slow down. And Andy, it never does. So on the law, I mean, the president clearly is talking, Pam Bondi's talking about pursuing individuals. Sometimes it's the rhetoric, sometimes it's their actions. And I want to be clear about this. For millions in this country, the rhetoric needs to tamp down dramatically. Those of us who don't play that game to give opinions need to call out more of that. But as someone who has been practicing law for a long time, where can the law step in, and does it concern you in any way when the president and attorney general are talking about targeting individuals, including at times for the words they offer up?
Yeah, you can't. The targeting individuals, they have to flesh out what they're talking about. But let me be clear as my view. Targeting individuals, groups, whatever it is, that's not only, you know, under the law, that doesn't work. It won't work for this problem. This is even more, Chad, than toning it down. I want to suggest that we have to learn how to communicate online in a way that doesn't lead to the ramping up of rage and grievance and anger.
How does that happen?
I'm still trying to figure that out, and I'm actually talking to some experts in the next couple of days who've been tracking this. There's a lot more we have to learn, and I'll just briefly end with this. We used to talk to each other. We talked on the phone. Yep. If we were really angry, we wrote a letter to the editor, you know, in my day. Maybe you wrote an op-ed. Maybe there are publications out there that nobody read that you could spew your views on. That all changed with the internet. And the internet didn't come with a set of instructions for us. We all engaged in a new way of communicating, you know, with prehistoric emails that we used to do on AOL and with, you know, ultimately, you know, chat rooms, if you remember, Chad.
Yeah.
And then ultimately social media. And we were promised when the internet sort of was invented, however you want to describe it, we were kind of promised a new community, a new way to engage in dialogue with a broader cross-section of people around the world, even. And we got some of that. And yes, there is that aspect of it. But there's another part of this that I think we need to figure out how to harness. And we need to figure out how to take what we express online, what people express online, good people and bad, and change it. Because you didn't, Chad, you and I couldn't have a conversation in 1980 in which I spewed hate at you without it being in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And now
right.
I can do that, and others can do that. So how do we change the way we communicate online and maybe take control of it rather than it taking control of us?
All right, before you go, because I know you have to go quick, just on the Mangione charges today, judge dismissed two of the murder charges, including the most severe charge, first-degree murder, accusing Mangione of murder as a crime of terrorism. What's your reaction to that?
Well, what the judge said, and I read the decision, the judge said that the crime, as horrific as it is, doesn't fit in the definition of a terrorism charge in New York that was passed after 9/11, where, you know, what you have to be committing this crime to intimidate and coerce the civilian population. It's a very specific type of charge, terrorism charge. Sometimes, and I think this might be one of them, sometimes we try to take certain crimes, hate crimes federally we have available to us, terrorism charge in the state court in New York, and try to make more of it, use it for more than maybe it was intended
mm-hmm.
to.
Okay.
That's what the judge is saying. Judge is saying this is a murder. It's a horrific crime. It's an awful crime. And it meets the definition of murder. It doesn't meet the definition of terrorism.
Understand. I know you're busy. Thank you so much. Be well, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me on.
The former two-time U.S. attorney for the state of Minnesota, Andy Lueger, once again giving us just great insight on what's taking place. So let's do this again. We've done this, I don't know, since the two of us have been together 5-6 times before that. Social media, yes or no? Has it been a positive or has it been a negative? And obviously it's nuanced, Dave. It's a lot of nuance. But if we just want to pick up on a lot of what Andy said and our dialogue at the end, if you have to say social media and how powerful and pervasive and omnipresent and omnipotent that it is social media a net positive or a net negative? Is that a fair question to ask?
It is.
What do you want to say? Text right now. Social media has been a net positive or net negative, and I understand it's more complicated than that. There's a lot more nuance to that. But if it's just simple, positive or negative, what do you want to say? If you want to text and add more context to it, certainly. But you got to give me the positive or negative and ideally add why. 651-461-9226. Why do I go to Stretch Lab? Because I want to feel better. I want to stay somewhat healthy. I want to stay somewhat fit. And I have a son with significant physical challenges, and I want him to be the same. I want Quentin to defy what has happened to so many other kids with DIRK 1A and live for decades and decades and decades. I want you to go. You could be a 16-year-old who's playing soccer right now and excelling and all sorts of energy and you need 3 hours of sleep. Guess what? You need to stretch. Maybe you're a 75-year-old and used to be a great athlete, but you're just sitting around too much. They can help you out at the dozen-plus locations, stretchlab.com. They have technology there. They'll talk to you for an extended period of time. Start with that 50-minute session. I guarantee you, you're going to feel better that first time. And most of you, if not all of you, are going to sign up to become a monthly customer. Believe in it greatly. There last night and a great session. Stretchlab.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you go first, because there's a lot of nuance to this, and we're going to keep this going a little bit, Jamie, next segment, too. Dave Harrigan's belief, social media, if you have to only answer positive or negative, which is it?
The last time we discussed this, probably a year and a half ago, and you know I would lean towards net negative. There's certainly nothing that's happened in the last year and a half since we had that conversation to make me go anything but more towards the negative. I see the way it's transformed our society, how it's, you know, the things obviously it does to specifically the brains of young people.
Yep.
But yeah, we see more and more of these cases of mass shooters or assassinations, and where do we see, you know, where do we see their influence came from?
You know me, I've always been positive on this. I've always said that we end up talking about the politics, the rhetoric, the violence, what it does to the kids in relation to some traumatic event. This clearly, a political assassination is as traumatic as it gets. And then we downplay the other brilliance that it brings. And I can't dismiss that. I just can't. But my God, there's so much evidence about what it's doing to kids. There is so much evidence where people will do no work to check on facts. None, zero, zilch. If it just affirms your own belief or who you believe in particular, it could be accusing someone. Let's not forget, we had a presidential debate last year where, what were the animals that we were eating? Dogs?
Eating the dogs, eating the cats.
Eating the dogs and cats. And there are millions of people who believe that.
Yes.
There are millions of people who try to not foment opinions, foment attacks at people, targeting them, doxing them, harming them because of social media. There's also this great part of the other parts where it's fun, it's entertaining, it's communicating, it's people are just addicted to it in some of the worst ways. Kids are literally addicted to it, some kids. And what it's doing to their brains is frightening. But, like, for me, when I go to TikTok, I just go to TikTok for laughs. Or if I go to Instagram, I go there to just be envious about other people and the lives they live. No, I go there, you know, just to see fun. And there's a lot of Twitter that still makes me laugh, or sources I trust that are fact-based. But the vitriol is like the volcano that never ebbs.
Mm-hmm.
It never, ever stops. So let's keep this going with Jamie for a little bit. Keep it coming on social media. Because I tried to provide a little bit of nuance, and I know more people are in text, and I appreciate that. Net positive, net negative social media, and what it's doing collectively and individually. 651-461-9226.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jamie in the house. We just finished a conversation with Andy Luger, the former U.S. attorney for the state. Great resource of the show. Obviously reacting to the charges, Tyler Robinson dropping of a couple charges against Luigi Mangione, and then another social media conversation. And so I posed this just before you joined, and obviously there's a lot of nuance, there's a lot of depth to this. But when you think collectively, Jamie, about social media's effect on our country, is it more of a net positive or a net negative, in your opinion?
I've said this all along. If I was not in the job I'm in that forces me to keep up with social media trends, post things to allow people into my life, I would not be on any of it. Like, get off the phone, go into nature. I think it has done us a huge disservice. And, you know, it's almost like we're playing with this dangerous device, like in real time, where we don't necessarily know how things are going to end up impacting us or how they're going to impact kids. And we're kind of making up rules as we go. But we had a woman on our show last week, the day after, you know, this unfortunate incident took place. And she is somebody who does safeguarding of social media. And she said there hasn't been new regulation to social media since 1998. I mean, look at how much has changed since 1998. And yeah. I think the thing we were most fearful of in our household is that my husband and I, last Wednesday when this all transpired, you know, we both opened up our social media and we saw the horrific incident happen on our homepage of our social media.
Horrifying.
So what's going to happen to our kids who, you know, open these up or share them with their friends? It's just, we're just continuing to perpetuate bad ideas and trauma and things that are unnecessary.
All of that is 100% accurate, in my opinion. But what about all the joy, right? The fun, the laughter, the comedy. Go ahead.
My mom really enjoyed smoking cigarettes, and that proved to be not great in the long run, right? There's plenty of people who enjoy drinking alcohol, but it doesn't often lead to, like, great long-term effects. No, I mean, we've safeguarded other things. I think when I heard that there hasn't been any new regulation since 1998, I'm going, what are we doing?
Let me read you some of the texts here. Negative. Social media has turned us into fact-free ideologues. I mean, that's one of the points I made before, Jamie. And again, I'm not faulting anybody for having positions. I just hope occasionally those positions are actually backed by facts. Information that has been validated, and not just validated by Gladys, your neighbor, who told you that there's a chip in the vaccine for COVID, right? That is the affirmation. And I also want people, if we're talking about the diversity of ideas, if you're far to the right or far to the left, we're not going to agree politically. I totally get that. But make sure whichever side of a topic you're on to not be afraid of listening to the other side, and maybe, Jamie, by listening to the other side, it just affirms where you are, but a consumption of more information is never going to hurt you.
Well, we actually have a group here in town that we were really proud to bring their story to light. Peace in Orange County, which you may know politically is much more conservative than Los Angeles County. But they have been bringing people together since 2017 on, no matter what your viewpoint is, they bring them into a room and they teach you how to actually have a debate. You know, like kids have debates at high school, right? Like what does a real debate look like? Instead of making the other side your enemy, how do you listen? How do you critically think? How do you then, you know, respond after you've done those things? Not what's immediately at the top of your head that you're going to fire off at the other side. But, you know, it's like, it's funny because every time we do these types of things, I do think this nation needs, you and I talk about mental health care all the time, but like a lot of these basic things, like how to debate, like you learn better off therapy. You know, it's like, you don't have to agree with someone.
Right.
But you can still validate, like, I understand that that's where you're coming from. I can see why you'd feel that way. You can say those things without saying, I agree with you or I'm changing my mind.
More text here. Horrible negative also pointed out our inability to interact face to face, just backing up everything just said, and how absent parents and caring adults have been for today's youth. More net negative. Staying connected and sharing life experiences doesn't outweigh bullying, radicalization, suicide, and murder. More here. Net negative. I work in technology. I'm also a local musician who uses social media for promotion. It's sad to see some of the comments on public protests. I can't believe how hateful people can be. I thought we made progress with racism and anti-LGBTQ, and then I see so much of it online. More text. Chad, I believe social media is a cancer in society. Yes, there might be good points, but the negativity always is the bigger issue. Yeah, regulations and, you know, when enunciation happened, we had a lot of guests on, including Senator Amy Klobuchar. And she was backing up a little bit of what you said, because I am so incredibly doubtful, Jamie, of the big social media brands, in particular with kids, on what they say they're going to do, what they claim they've done, they already have done. And then when we see independent reporting or Congress investigating, their words don't match up with their actions, and it happens over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, we've created this problem ourselves too. Like the musician who just said, "I have to use it for promotion." It's like I said, I have to use it for my job. I understand that they're, you know, in terms of the big capitalist machine of marketing and advertising and promotions of things, like we've kind of locked ourselves into this. So to unravel it all is going to be hard. The one like silver lining I kind of see is I do feel like the younger kids are rejecting a little bit of wanting to even be online or be bothered by their peers in social, you know, a lot of them are, when you used to tell a kid, like, you're not going to get a cell phone till 16 and I don't want you on social media till then, there'd be a huge fight in the household. Some of these littler kids are like, yeah, that sounds great. I don't need it.
Yep.
I don't want to be on it. Like, I mean, we'll see what happens, you know, when they start turning 13, 14 years old. But I find a lot of 8 to 12 year olds are like, yeah, I don't want it. It's like, you guys can keep it.
A couple last ones. Does the media, including me, have a responsibility? Yeah, I take this responsibility very serious. And I'm not talking about, I've made this point like three times a day, I'll say it again. I'm not talking about quelling strong opinions. I'm talking about stopping individuals who take opinions well beyond that to advocate violence, to demonizing, belittling others who disagree with them. And then it also comes up go ahead.
I want to just take that a step further. I've been trying to tell people this and be transparent. Like we in, quote, mainstream media, whether you're watching CBS, NBC, ABC, even Fox News, CNN, all of them, regardless of what you think of them ideologically, when a video like what happened last week comes out, we have standards and ethics. 9/11, you know, the memorial of 9/11 was last week. There are multiple conversations in newsrooms that were had between media organizations of how long we would play the planes going into the building, when to stop it, how much to show. We even take into account audio sometimes. Cut the audio here. Don't have this happen. To open up my Instagram to just the homepage and have about 30 posts of that video, the horrific video that a number of people opened up and then saw this man being killed, executed on screen, I can't now unsee. In my line of work, I have to see that kind of stuff and make determinations for the greater good of the population. So you can think whatever you want to about you, Chad, at radio, or me and you know, mainstream television news, but we are trying to be thoughtful about the general population and how things are framed. These social media companies, I mean, I'm not exaggerating when I say at least 25 videos of from different angles of this horrific event were played on my homepage.
Great stuff. I appreciate it. Stay safe, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Chad. Bye.
Jamie with us. We'll go to Jason, who's at Target Field. I mean, peak time to be at Target Field, right?
No hotter time.
No literal hotter time. Amber Scholl. Home insurance, it's expensive. Car insurance, it's expensive. It's not going to be free. It's not going to be just discounted, you know, 98% if you go with my group, TeamScholl.com, with American Family. It's going to be comprehensive. It's going to be thorough. And I'm sure they believe, with many people listening right now, because they've signed up a lot of people off our ads here on WCC Radio, that they can help you and either give you greater protection or absolutely save you money. This is an office. Amber hasn't been running it the entire time, but this is an office with American Family based locally, which I've been using for 35 years. Amber with the office 15 years, running it so efficiently the last 3 years. How do you track her down? TeamScholl.com. That's S-C-H-O-L-L.com. Find out if you can have a better deal, or find out that you feel even better about the insurance you have right now. It's worth your time. Quality people. See if you can save some money and have better coverage with American Family, TeamScholl.com. I wish we had more time for this one, Jason. I'm assuming you're going to lead with this. The World Stone Skimming Championships.
Yep.
They've been rocked by a cheating scandal. 2,200 people, 27 countries. It turned out the stones, which much come from naturally occurring island slate. However, some were found to be suspiciously circular.
Yep.
An organizer, a doctor, that defenders held their hands up and apologized. They apologized. The doctor, by the way, runs this, is known as the Tossmaster. He told BBC Radio, the judges heard rumors and murmurings of some nefarious deeds. There was a little bit of stone doctoring.
Uh-oh.
Stone doctoring.
You hate to hear it. You hate to hear it. I mean, if you can't trust in the integrity of the stone skipping comp, I mean, who are we as a society?
How were you and how are you now as a skimmer, skipper? Yep. What do you think? Yep.
Thank you for asking.
Yep.
I actually traveled around the upper Midwest to exhibit.
Yeah.
Ever hear of a Petroski rock? You
no.
Google it. Look it up. A Petroski stone.
I think he wrestles for the WWE, doesn't he?
Mackinac Island area. I was sort of legendary for those.
I don't, Dave.
A lot of people are talking about it still.
Dave, can you be sort of legendary? I mean, isn't it pretty clear cut?
Well, it's kind of a niche thing. So yeah, you can be.
Yeah, I don't want to overstate it.
Sure.
I mean, not in the general population, but in my sphere.
Yeah,
legend.
I was tremendous. 75 skips was kind of my warm up. So,
yep,
and probably, by the way, I applaud them for trying to cheat. Bravo. That's good for the
guys. Yes. Have some fun.
See ya.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.